Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Howdy, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, one half of your hosts. That would make my brother Elliot McNally, who's right here with me, the other host.
Hey, Vince.
Hey, how are you? Top of the morning to you, Elliot.
Top of the morning to you as well. It's a great morning here.
Heck of a morning.
I think it's so great because today more than ever, and this week more than ever, my love for America has strengthened.
I am proud to be an American. That's the truth. And though I'm not a big fan of country music personally, I do, at least this week, support that message.
Across our journey and all along it, I have been constantly reassured that we live in the right country. Even when we went abroad to Europe, there was just a little something off about it. And what was off was that it wasn't America. And I think that that message is going to ring true in this episode. And it has all week, this week of 4th of July.
Absolutely. A salute to America, to the troops, to our founding fathers. And, you know, I think we should mention, because it's going to come up later on in the episode, the role that our great-great-grandfather Rand played in the War of 1812.
Yes. Rand actually thought that war was to try to divide the continent from Canada.
He did. Rand had a distrust for the Canadians, said they smelled too sweet.
Mm-hmm. So what he did was he tried to run a string of dynamite all along the Canadian border to blow it up, to split the continent, effectively. Didn't really work out, but all throughout his life, he had an anti-Canadian bent to him.
He sure did, and it's unsurprising, given that information, that he found himself once or twice strolling through the town that we're in today.
And it's a town, Vince, that I think we should put on the map.
Great idea, Elliot. Let's do it.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps. If you ordered ahead, you can also take out your Canada special expansion pack. Now, based on what you ordered, this may be welded to your map. It may be screwed or bolted on. We have a variety of options, but the main point is that you can take off this Canada piece and discard it at your leisure.
This is a special limited edition map. We're selling it for a very reasonable $1,775.
It's handcrafted.
And for that money, you get to rent it for 18 hours, and then you have to send it back. But we think it's well worth every single American penny.
And it's well worth being in this town today. The town we are in is Winnipeg, Maine. I don't think we've ever been in a town that hates Canada more. And I don't think we've ever talked to a person who hates Canadians more. That person owns an anti-Canadian souvenir shop right here in the town. And to help us put a pin in the map, he is right here. Can you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How are you?
Good. My name is Rob McDale. I've been fighting the good fight up here in the good state of Maine for, about 100 years now.
You've been fighting the fight for about 100 years now?
Oh, absolutely.
Just from the day you were born, or even?
Yep. Well, for pre-womb. I was a pre-womb warrior. Before I busted out, all slippery and sloppery, I believe my first kick was actually the slowly forming cuticle of my middle finger pointing towards Canada.
Well, Rob, can you use that middle finger and possibly the other fingers on your hand to grab one of our pins and stick it in your town?
Oh, I'd like to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it right there, just 5 miles south of those sweet-smelling Canucks.
Rob, we know you own a store in town that really is a purveyor of everything anti-Canadian. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, this store has been in my family for about 250 years, pretty much ever since the Great War of 250 years ago. So it's a very nice little store, wooden. You mostly see me out front on my rocking chair, you know, with my cane, probably whittling something like a Canadian baby with a deformed hand or something. But yeah, we've been selling souvenirs and anti-Canada propaganda since since the foundation was set.
What is the store called?
It's called Maple Leafs.
That's a little kind of a misnomer, wouldn't you say? Or is it intended to draw people in?
Oh, you might not have heard me. You know, this Maine accent's pretty thick, so sometimes it blankets the subtleties. It's called Maintle Leafs. Maintple Leafs. Which is actually
Maintple.
Maintple Leafs. Okay.
There's an ain't in there, which is actually my great-great-granddaddy formed the first ever commercial portmanteau.
So he was able to widely distribute this portmanteau for purchase across the country?
Sure did. But once he actually finished it, he passed away. You see, he was whittling it into a sign. And, you know, portmanteaus don't really come off of the first try. But, you know, sure. He would never sketch it out. He would just whittle it till it was finished.
Well, neither did Da Vinci, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to interject and say what I really appreciate about your great-great-grandpappy's form of portmanteau is it's spelled port-man-t-apostrophe-capital-O instead of the French spelling, because, of course, he held a grudge against the Quebecois.
Absolutely. The Quebecois is really like the dandelion in the beautiful backyard of Maine here. And, you know, really, if you ever want to go on to what we call primary school here in Maine, you're going to have to, go into one of the unorganized territories and hunt one down.
And if you were to do that, what would you say your top selling item in your store would be?
Probably we sell these nice. Are you familiar with a T-shirt?
I think so. It's what I'm wearing right now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no,
yeah.
Actually, this doesn't have sleeves. It's like this, but with sleeves, right?
Oh, sleeves are optional up here. Sleeves are optional. But yeah, we usually sell these T-shirts that are camouflage. So sometimes we'll put like water on them if you want to hide in the water. We'll put some grass on them if you hide in the grass. We got these ones with blinking lights if you want to hide on the road. And then the blinking lights would correspond with the yellow highway markings in case somebody was driving towards you and you wanted to hide from them.
Well, that's interesting. One product I wanted to mention that I was a huge fan of, that would be the Tie It Yourself Railroad Damsel Capturing Set.
Absolutely. Also comes with a mustache. Really long, waxy mustache. But yeah, that is absolutely our number one seller. That's actually why the train stopped running here about 20 years ago. We ran out of good cabooses and good trains, and we also ran out of damsels.
So are all the damsels tied up somewhere across the border in Canada right now?
Well, most of them, you know, succumb to the elements. A lot of times, the problem with fighting Canadians is you sometimes get a little distracted and you forget about your initial thing. And oftentimes we would put a lot of effort into taking train tracks and laying them and subverging them from the normal ones, because the Canadians would be coming in with their trains and scooping up our resources and then heading back north. So we started creating fake train tracks that would lead into unsuspected traps.
Did you ever paint a tunnel on a mountain or anything like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Once pre-primary, which is the school you go to before primary, one of your major classes, if you're a male, is learning 3D landscapes. That's just because, you know, sometimes trains don't have to go to a painted tunnel. They could go to a painted bridge. Maybe it looked like you couldn't cross, but you could, kind of like that Indiana Jones fella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is really our number one weapon against the Canadians is artistry.
I think that's America's strong suit just in general, if I do say so myself.
Sure is.
Vince, I really want to talk to Rob more about his business, but I know that there are so many other businesses in this town.
Absolutely. Sure are, Elliot. He mentioned already artistry being a great strength of America, but it's also entrepreneurialism. That's what makes this country so great. It's ingenuity and it's elbow grease. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on here in Winnipeg in a segment we call Giving Them the Business.
So listeners, Giving Them Business is my and Vince's opportunity with our guests to talk about the mom and pop shops that not only support our town's communities, but support their economies. And of course, we have Maintple Leafs, Rob McDale's family shop, but there are so many others. Rob, do you have any other partners around town that have stores you want to give a shout out to?
Absolutely. I partner with a good friend of mine, Dale. We sell this delicious, if you've ever had, you take like, it's really simple recipe. It's native here. You take like, it's basically like flour and some eggs and some butter, and then you cook it into like a disc, and it's kind of like bready. And then we put what we call sticky water on it. And it's very, it's kind of, it has a nice flavor to it. It's brown and you can find it in trees. And so we'll have our flatbread and sticky waters. And that's what Dale runs across the street. You know, often it's a main source of our fundraisers. We do, you know, flatbread, sticky water fundraisers at like the firehouse or at churches and stuff.
Let me ask you this. Does Dale claim that he invented flatbread and sticky water?
Yep. That's really? Actually when we ran against each other for King of Winnipeg. Obviously, we don't recognize the U.S. government. We are an entity unto ourselves. I couldn't tell you who the president was or if you guys are still doing that president thing. But yeah, so he defeated me about 50 years ago, and he did it because he was able to get into the pockets of flatbread sticky water. And all really I had to offer people was what I call it swine ham. It's kind of like if you've ever had bacon, but I don't do it in the strips. I do it in the cubes. It's more of a ham, but you eat it like bacon.
Huh. This is really interesting to me. You know, something in the deep recesses of my mind is kind of feeling familiar, but it must just be the patriotism that's oozing.
Well, maybe you were one of our brave warriors from the past, and you just got reincarnated.
That could be.
That could be. That could be.
It's in our blood, Vince, just to be patriotic and eat flatbread, sticky water, and swine ham.
That's right. You know, Vince, your voice reminds me of a fella I used to know. Now, he's long gone in the wars of the North, but when we was kids, post-primary school, we used to do this sport, which we called frozen cube turd broomstick slappy ice. And we used to play on the ice you know, on that nice ice oval out on the lakes, and it was fun. You had a guy whose goal was to prevent that thing from entering what we call nylon wrapped in twine. It was a really fun game.
That's a huge honor, I think, Vince.
I am honored. And speaking of honors, let's talk about maybe not so much business, but a public service. Winnipeg has a very active police force that serves not only as, you know, to serve and protect, but also kind of a members of the community doing odd jobs, helping kittens out of trees, helping old women across the street, et cetera,
absolutely.
Et cetera. And they all ride horseback, and you call them mounteds. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it makes sense because really they're just mounted atop the horse. So, you know, it's kind of, and usually, though, the fun fact about all the mounteds that work around here at Winnipeg and the rest of the unorganized territory are all former Boy Scouts of America.
Oh, is that so? I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
That's the only tie-in we have with the U.S. government is for our right to use the branding of the Boy Scouts of America. And we don't really do it for the fives or the Dutch oven peach pies. We just do it for the kerchiefs.
Who wouldn't do something for
a
kerchief?
They do have a fine kerchief. They do.
Yeah.
They do. So maybe we can kind of ruminate on this for a minute.
Sure.
So you guys are strict patriots and you love your country, but you're also a sovereign nation unto yourselves.
Well, we feel we're deemed the protectors.
Oh, I see. I see. Stewards of America. I see. Oh, that makes perfect sense now.
They tell our tale. We are probably one of our most famous artists up here. He's a big-time TV producer. You know, we have just closed broadcasts within the unorganized territory, most of Winnipeg. And he's got this fantastic, fantastic show called Match of Seats. And it comes on every Sunday, and there's like lizards that poop fire, and there's sisters that kiss brothers and stuff like that. And then really it kind of is an allegory to how we sort of protect our wall. You know, we're the northern, you know, we're the protectors, because we don't want, as he says, we don't want winter solace to come. You know, we don't want that to happen.
Praying to the old sticky waters and the new sticky waters.
Absolutely.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Elliot, did you wander into any businesses that you thought were especially compelling this week?
I did find one very compelling because it was almost too overtly obvious that the shop was run by a Canadian. It was called Syrupticious.
Yeah.
And Apparently, that's the second ever portmanteau to be registered nationally.
Yeah, and that is run by the only Canadian fellow we allow to live in town.
So he is allowed. He's not a spy of some kind.
Well, you know, he was caught as a POW, but one day when all the men were out fighting, the men that were left back, we're just a little hungry, and we thought, well, we have this guy here, and he's just wasting away, and he made us a version of flatbread sticky water, to the likes of which I've never had. It was so fluffy. It was really like eating what you imagine a cloud to taste like. And and his sticky water, it was almost like it wasn't water at all. It was so much more viscous. And the pastor at the time took one bite, and it was, his life was on the line, the POWs. And he looked up and he goes, I wonder how you use the word surreptitious. And then the Canuck, they're quick as weasels on a cold lake. So he's like, well, if you keep me alive, I'll be running a surreptitious, and you can have this what we call pancakes and maple syrup whenever you want.
That's a really good example of bridging the gap across enemy lines.
They still chemically castrated him.
Oh, uh-huh. That makes sense. You won't want him to procreate.
No, you got to keep those under wraps.
A town needs its principles. That makes total sense. One store that I stopped at that was really interesting to me, it was a music shop, albums, records, and it was run by a fella named Jason Treaver.
Okay.
And he's sort of a younger type. He had sort of a sweeping bull haircut, and he claims to be a pop musician that originates here in Winnipeg. Are you guys fans or familiar with him?
Yeah, I mean, we're familiar with his work. We were trying to do a sort of a, it's really, I don't feel like I should be at liberty to talk to you guys right now about this, but I absolutely will, because I'm drinking one of my favorites, Laybates, and it's pretty smooth. Turns out, it's basically this gentleman you're talking about. He's kind of a Trojan horse for us. So, we can see, if he exudes all that stuff that our good Main Street Americans and unorganized territories of Winnipeg's are doing, he's going to attract Canadian sympathizers. And then basically we know who those people are.
Ah, makes sense.
Vince, is Jason Treaver this kid that has the hordes of young adolescent girls known as retrievers?
That's him. Yeah, that's him. And he has a kind of a shaggy blonde mop, just like a golden retriever.
Yeah,
that's him.
Full disclosure, I own his latest album. It's actually quite catchy.
What do you feel about that, Rob?
It's pretty catchy. I like his song. The couple of hits, Infant is a pretty good one. And then Apologize is nice, too.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's Apologize, parentheses, it's just about the right time, too, end parentheses,
absolutely.
Just so you just kick back on your porch with a can of Laybates and listen to that?
We don't have electricity up here anymore.
Oh, why is that?
We had one of the wild free-roaming Canadians climb into a transformer the other day and kind of took our grid down, so.
Oh, so you normally would have electricity, but
yeah,
you just don't.
Yeah, okay. But it just takes a while. There's a lot of paperwork that has to get done to get the U.S. government actually up here to work on our municipalities.
So you do interact with the U.S. government to some capacity.
Well, we used to have an ambassador, but a piano fell on him. So they were trying to lift a piano into a third floor as he was walking underneath. So that was terrible. So then they sent up another guy, and he was just walking on his cell phone, and he didn't see two movers moving a crystal clear pane of glass and walked right into it, and he bled out on the street right there. And then another one was dictating into his phone. You see, he was trying to write his memoirs. Well, he should have got them done earlier, because he had walked right off a ledge and he probably would have made it to the other side. But then he realized he was no longer on the ground and he fell.
They only found his body and then a little sign he held up that said, oh, no. Right.
Yep. Oh, no. Just one stick and then a solid white painted sign. If you go walking around with that, you're probably asking for trouble.
But didn't he buy that at your shop? Don't you have different memorabilia?
No,
like that?
He bought that across the street. We have this big department store. It's just Acme. And they sell a bunch of products that get used in town.
Well, I'm already learning so much today. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. And maybe we can go a little further and answer some specific questions that our listeners have.
In a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know? So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is our weekly segment allowing you guys to write in asking questions of Vince and I and our guest of our travels. Guys, I have the first one.
Let's hear it, Elliot.
So this one comes from Terry in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, hey, Terry. Thanks for writing.
Terry says, hey, guys, huge fan of the USA, huge fan of Maine, not a huge fan of Canada. How do people in Winnipeg feel about Rick Moranis?
Oh, boy.
Interesting. Another Rick Moranis question.
Yeah, this is just one in a pile. We had to separate out the Moranis questions from the other questions this week. I chose this one at random, but it seems like they all kind of share the generic anti-Moranis sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pretty much Strange Brew was to what Animal Farm did to the public education system, you know, back in the day. You know, if we were to be able to trace AIDS back to a single monkey, I think we can find much of our modern sentiments towards Canada traced back to Rick Moranis.
Oh, so it's funny you mentioned Strange Brew, because I was going right to Great White North. I mean, he was just this stereotypical Canadian, just giving Americans a bad name.
Yeah, I mean, we show those propaganda films to our troops, you know, to kind of rile them up and stuff like that. And it really helps, you know. We'll play them some Nickelback or we'll just play an isolated vocal track of Celine Dion without any backing, which they'll listen to. But we found that that doesn't work so good because she's absolutely fantastic. There's no denying her talent, even if it is harbored in the cold, soulless exterior of a Canadian. You know, there's a lot of things we can do to sort of get them. We completely erased Michael J. Fox's career up to about 5 years ago. So they just kind of don't understand the context or anything. They're wondering what this Canadian is doing on that TV.
So you guys had sort of your own American Anonymous ruining Canadians' lives.
Yeah, you know, we find it's easiest to censor, you know, the media that our population is exposed to. And we don't feel bad about that. It's just we're the ones up here fighting the war of northern aggression. And so we're on the front line. So, you know, we have to do what we need to do to be mentally capable to move forward. You know, those pussies in Vermont don't got to do a shit. And Massachusetts can go fuck it. It's lobster shell, you know. But we're up here making the sacrifices to keep America's Northeast safe.
Just to be clear, the war of northern aggression you're talking about is the war to the north in Canada.
Yeah, you know, we not, again, a lot of U.S. history, I've heard we've used terms that people associate with other things, but you got to understand up here, we don't have that history. That's not part of our history. So we don't learn it. It's sort of like the time that old, we had this event that we got a lot of flack out when I went on the Real Time with Bill Maher, where we had this old lady. She went naked cannonballing into our harbor, and her name was Pearl, and her titties fell out. And we're like, you know, this is going to be a day that's going to live in infamy. And people deem that insensitive, apparently, because there was some sort of connection to a previous American event. But we can't, you know, I'd rather just bury my nose into some flatbread and sticky water than pay attention to that.
How do you guys feel about, getting back to Moranis, the term hoser, speaking of, you know, vernacular?
Well, that's actually what we call Canadian women. We use it as a derogatory term because you're going to want to hose them off before you get on them because they're so dirty. So we call them hosers. We just usually turn the language on them.
Just reappropriate it from Rick Moranis. Wow, that's a great idea.
This is very interesting. I feel like our Moranis-based questions are always a gold mine for tidbits, factoids, and things that I just had no idea about.
You know, we always get so many, and I only found them applicable this episode.
I know. Yeah. It's so rare. It's such a rare treat that we actually get to break into the Moranis pile and dust off one of the dozens of questions we get each and every week. That's fascinating. Thanks for answering.
Absolutely.
I've got the next question right here for us. And this comes from Tracy in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, what does Tracy have to say, Vince?
Tracy says she has a degree in Canadian cinema, especially fond. She's written this in kind of bullet points, so I'm just freestyling the response. Okay. She also writes, especially love the Canadian movie Deliverance. America filmed in Winnipeg a knockoff to that movie, also named Deliverance. Can you have your guests speak to this?
Oh, boy. Well, Rob, you're more than welcome to speak on it, although we should clarify that that film takes place in Georgia, not Maine.
Correct. But, you know, it depends. You know, we got there was some lawyering. There was some deceitful lawyering because, really, both movies were made at the same time. And if we were actually made sooner. So, you know, if one goes ahead and releases, even though it was made later, that's not really a fair thing, if you understand that.
Well, that makes sense. And I think it really gets back to, I did some Wikipedia-ing on you, Rob, and your somewhat storied acting career of auditioning for Deliverance.
Yeah, I was, I never would touch the American version. I've never really trusted Burt Reynolds or Warren Beatty, either of their, you know, who they're connected to. I'd like to see those certificates. But I did audition for, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term, our version of Deliverance, Extrication. And, you know, in Extrication, and once you meet those people that live up in this woods, the ones that are backwards, you know, really all it is there's no sexualness, you know, America got its bad hands on it. Sure. Really, everybody just kind of, there's some fighting. You know, there's some exchanges, people hitting each other on the heads with mallets, leaving these big protruding bumps on the head, people giving cigars that blow up, that'll leave you just covered in smoke with whiskers blinking three times and then fall into ash. But you're okay afterwards. And then really at the end of the day, everybody's just sitting at a table looking at each other while they're burying their nose in some flatbread and sticky water.
And that movie also features, I'm sorry to say you didn't get the role, but a family inadvertently shrinking themselves down, right, to battle the Canadians.
It's actually the reverse, where it's a video about the lengths at which a Canadian will go to. So it's a Canadian who shrinks himself down and then comes down to invade Winnipeg.
So
it's real angry. It's called Honey, I'm a Boot to Shrink the Kids. We had a generation of children in our city that had nightmares from that because you know, bless their heart, but if you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. Like, that's a terrifying concept to ingrain into your children, but mm-hmm. It absolutely is necessary when you live at the edge of American civilization and, mm-hmm. and you're keeping those long toenailed polite P's and Q's from, you know, coming over and stealing everything that we work so hard for.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Couldn't agree more. Great answer to a complicated question. Speaking of questions, do you have the next one for us?
Absolutely. I have a question. This question is from Karen from Cincinnati, Ohio. And she says, you're absolutely right, but how come on your Twitter feed there was a picture of you eating poutine? And then that was at me.
Well, wow. She kind of jumps right into the middle of what seems to be an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew there'd be some risks when I registered Maint Police 69, but that's just, you know, you want to get yourself out there. More business for you, more business for your you know, the kids that come after you and stuff. Mm-hmm. Common misconception, I wasn't eating poutine, as she calls it. I don't know what poutine is. You know what I call poutine? It's a dance done by a Canadian. It's a poopy routine. That's a poutine. But really, just down here, we call it, you know, potato sticks, cheese ovals, and, you know, brown.
Potato sticks, cheese ovals, and brown. That sounds delicious.
It's good. It's really good. It's not the healthiest, but after a long day of laybates, ooh, let me tell you, that'll hit the spot real good.
You know, I could kind of go for some right now. Do you have any restaurants that serve potato sticks, cheese ovals, and brown that you could recommend to us here?
Oh, yeah, you know, to be honest, here at Winnipeg, we have a rich, rich food, you know, food scenes. We're kind of foodies up here because, you know, we have the privilege of, you know, people from up here, and we're not tainted by American commercialisms or anything like that. So we're very fortunate when it comes to what we have to eat. We have a Roni Tomas, and that's like a nice little steak joint. It's pretty tasty if you want some steaks or, you know, some potatoes that are full and are gotten and stuff like that. And then just, you know, we have a McDonald's, which is a tire store that also will sell you burgers, but kind of cheaper burgers, which is still delicious if you're on a budget or anything like that. What else do we have? We got, what is that? Oh, yes. Sugar King. Very nice. It's just basically, have you ever had a fairy tube? It's like a tube and it's filled with kind of flavored sugar.
I don't believe I have.
You probably had a fairy tube when you were a kid. So
that specific name isn't really ringing a bell, but I think I understand what you're referencing.
Good. So yeah, you know, and then a lot of the time we just have an open door policy where you just knock on the door and be like, you know, Dale, all the men in this town are mostly called Dales, except for me because I once ran for king. So I was able to choose a name as long as it didn't have more vowels or consonants than the king. And then all of our girls are named Edna. So, you know, you can, and Dale, Edna, you know, can I sit down at your table? Can I join you for some, you know, flatbread and sticky water or we can watch the three acts of the slapstick cube shitbox on ice.
Wow, that sounds like a pristine and an American evening. I have a hankering to do just that, but we've got more show to do, Elliot. In specific, we've got a great segment coming up.
We do, Vince, and that would be He Said, She Said.
So, listeners, we know you love to know what's going on historically, economically, politically in the towns we're staying in, but sometimes you also want to hear a little bit of human interest. What's going on in the day-to-day? What are the people talking about? And that's what this segment is, a little bit of a dip into the gossip of the towns we're visiting in. Now, Rob, It has to be said that with all the conflict and living really on the frontier of a ongoing American war, there has to be a couple of, you know, peeps and whispers going on behind closed doors. What are the people of Winnipeg talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, just like the local gossip, you know, we don't get involved in much of that international politics or anything. So it'd be like, you know, the other day, Dale was out with Dale. And he hit what we call a big northern cow. It's got huge antlers, 800, 900 pounds, big northern cow. Sure. So he calls Edna, and then, you know, because Dale just hit that thing with Dale. So he calls Edna, and then Dale's like, "Why are you calling my wife for?" And then they shot each other right there. And it was really kind of sad. Dale and Edna are getting a divorce over down there by Pokey's Grocery. Dale took his son, Dale and his little daughter Edna out, on Lake Wakaluku. We're wondering if it was witchcraft, but we know, the elements changed. So, unfortunately, Dale froze to death out there, but, Dale was able to bring Edna back, but it was sad to see Dale go. Dale and Edna's getting married to, Edna and Dale's Dale. Dale is holding another garage sale because, you know, Edna's always calling up Dale like, "Dale, can I borrow some more money for our account? Let's get a line on this credit."
And classic Dale's like, Edna.
I've been working at this bank for 50 years. Let me ask my manager, Edna. And Edna's like, "Well, Dale, do you think that they'll be able to pay that back?" And Dale's like, "Edna, I think they will." So Dale goes back and calls Edna. And then Edna gets that line of credit, and then she calls her husband Dale. And Dale's like, "Edna, what are you doing with that? We can't pay that back." So Dale then just goes ahead and steps over Dale's head and calls Edna. And Edna's like, "Well, you know, I said Dale could go ahead and give Edna that line of credit. But Dale, if you don't want me to, I mean, my name's Edna. I'm not going to let that happen." So, you know, that's what we kind of keep for financial security around here at Winnipeg.
Wow. That was a whirlwind of gossip, I think.
I have to say, very easy to keep track of. The way you're a natural born storyteller, Rob. And
well, appreciate it.
I was able to connect all the dots as you were saying it. No confusion whatsoever. What are some of the upcoming events in the town? What things are going to change kind of the scope of Winnipeg? Do you have any big attacks planned? Any sort of coups or coup de grace scheduled for your Canadian enemies?
Yeah, every 76 years, you know, we have a dance between where Canadians and people of Winnipeg kind of put down their differences, and they just spend a night, you know, spend it together, really. No aggression, just dancing, labats. You know, we'll bring some of our moonshine. They'll bring some of the, you know, Yukon cider, and we'll drink that, and we'll laugh, and we'll fornicate, and then we'll meet up about a year later and execute the children that were a product of that.
That sounds like a wholesome good time.
You know, that might just sound a little dark. They're not necessarily executed so much as they are loaded into cannons and shot over the horizon, so sort of what they do after that is kind of on their own. But, you know, something's got to be said. You got to respect your enemy. So anybody that's half Canadian and anybody that's half Winnipeg, you know, free territory, probably's got a little gumption inside them to make sure that they last.
So it's the one drop of sticky water rule that you guys abide
Absolutely.
By.
Absolutely.
Sure. Mm-hmm. One event, actually, guys, that I heard of, and Rob, maybe you can talk about a little bit, is Flag Day. And it's a holiday celebrated at the town about the town's flag. And I think if you pull your little handkerchief off there over your neck, you have the town flag right here.
There it is right there. Yeah,
it's red and white, and there's a leaf in front of it that's kind of like a palm shape almost.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a marijuana leaf. Mm-hmm. Marijuana leaf or a palm leaf kind of had a baby.
Where'd you guys come up with that design?
You know, it was sort of foretold in prophecy. It was told that one of our original founders, he used to smoke a lot of that marijuana, M-A-R-Y. I mean, I think you spell it different down there, but it was back when we were Marys, back before our Marys became Ednas after the great subconscious awakening once marijuana was discovered.
That must have been the third portmanteau, if I'm keeping track correctly.
Yeah, you know. There's no scoreboard, you know. This isn't broomstick, cube shit, ice ring, ball. So, he was out for a walk, and a big great northern cow saw him, and they're pretty protective when they have kids, probably because they don't want them Canadians slithering over there and drinking the blood of them. So, couldn't tell that it was just a good Winnipeg fella, and charged him and hit him right on the head. And, well, he was never really different before. So, you know, all the words he ever would say was Dale. He just could only use the word Dale. But in a way that we knew what he meant, even if he was telling stories that were just like Dale, Dale, Dale. It was amazing. And then one time, you know, towards the end of his life, he just kept saying Dale, Dale, Dale. And I was out and we were at the beach. And, you know, we were low on money, my family at that time, but we were selling stuff to these museumists, these guys that worked for the Natural Museum of History down in New York. Mm-hmm. And then they were putting up this big aqua display, and he just kept saying, Dale, 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 and then we were digging, and then this oil came out, and we had to keep digging because we knew there was something more than oil. And then he put his thumb into the hole where the oil was coming out and held it in time for us to dig up a whale. I don't really know, you know, I believe in the straight and narrow, and I believe that the Canadian moon goes down to hell every night and comes back up. But I almost feel like Dale was really digging whale and that he knew what his purpose was.
Well, that whale eventually became the mayor of the town for a brief period, didn't he?
Yep. That was, you know, symbolically, I think we hit it out of the park, but economically, that was a really dark time. Mm. The whale was dead. It was just bones. So people kind of abused that and would just interpret the whale to say whatever they needed to for their own personal gain. Mm. So, sure. Yeah.
But regardless of what happens in the town, this proud and true red and white flag that is represented on your handkerchief will always fly true.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, we are so proud of this flag. You know, it symbolizes hope, and it's just so beautiful to us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every time we unroll it, it's just, you know, oh, Winnipeg. Our house and domestic earth, yes, patriot heart, in all thy offsprings tell, with shining chambers that pump blood through you, we see thee go up. Yeah.
That was awesome. Stirring.
Beautiful.
I actually have a tear in my eye.
Oh, thank you. You guys are kind.
We just speak the truth, Rob, and we appreciate your speaking the truth.
Oh, it's good to get that truth out there.
It must be a real load off. We would be honored if you would join us in speaking a few more kernels of that truth.
Sure.
In what I might be so bold as calling, Elliot, our favorite segment.
I think it is our favorite segment, Vince. It's one we call Did You Know?
So Did You Know is our weekly rapid fire fast fact trivia bite segment where we have time for five factoids each and every week.
So Vince, Rob, I've got the first one.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Vince and Rob, did you know the biggest prank ever pulled on Canada was devised right here in Winnipeg?
I had no idea. What was it?
Rob, I think you may have been a part of this, but it happened pretty recently, and it's something that you guys called the Trojan Shia, and it's where you wheel the giant horse over the Canadian border, and inside it was only Shia LaBeouf.
Absolutely. He's really the only one, I think, that can move freely between our territory, Canada and America.
But you guys don't really take kindly to him around here, do you?
We selectively take out parts of his career that we agree with artistically. I'm fine with him in a Sia video, but there are some decisions that we don't necessarily support.
So like Even Stevens, not so much.
Even Stevens was fine, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I think you know I'm talking some of them Transformers. You know, maybe the first one was fine, but he still saw Enjoyable Kid. But and then what are you doing? What are you doing in Lars Von Trier? What's that decision? What are you trying to prove? You know who you are.
Yeah, totally.
And that's kind of our town motto here, Winnipeg. Know who you are.
That's a great point. Wow. Well, Elliot, I didn't know that. It makes a lot of sense given Shia's recent history. But did you guys know the only form of vehicular transportation here in Winnipeg is by driving a Zamboni?
I didn't know that, Vince.
What's a Zamboni?
Perhaps I'm using an appropriated term from my own past.
Do you mean sideways car wash for ice?
Do you, Vince?
You know, now that you'd mentioned it,
I think you mean sideways car wash for ice.
It turns out I certainly do exactly mean the sideways car wash for ice. I thought that was called a Zamboni. You want to shed some light on why you guys use that to get around so often?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, what comes with defending the North from the greater North and, you know, really being the overseers of the hedge is just that it's fucking cold up here. So, you know, normal tires will spin out and spin out like, you know, Celine Dion doing another back-to-back weekend at Vegas. So we found that a Zamboni is a nice way to not only transport our Dales and Ednas, but also make sure that the streets are nice and shiny.
Well, regardless of that, I feel like traffic during rush hour might be a nightmare. And I'm not talking about the Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan vehicle.
Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting. Rob, do you have a did you know fact for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you know that my favorite breakfast of all breakfasts is just a big stack of flatbread and sticky water? But not just with that. But you know what you do? When you got them and you're cooking them up, when you've got the goop in a bowl and you're about to slap it on there and make it flatbread, something that makes it so good is if you just get some cocoa nuggets. And you're like, am I eating dessert for breakfast? Because I got cocoa nuggets in this flatbread and sticky water.
That sounds so delicious.
Cocoa nuggets. So these are actually tiny nuggets of cocoa?
Yeah, just a little nugget of cocoa. You know, we got cocoa nuggets that we also put in our biscuits. You know, they're really good. You know, you can have them in a candy bar. It's also a fun fact. It's the only meal we give to the kids before we shoot them out of the cannon to the Ooktaroons.
And that is your and their favorite varietal of flatbed sticky water?
I don't, you know, I'm not really familiar with an Ooktaroon and its taste buds or preferences, but I just know that they seem to gobble it down as they do.
Well, that is fascinating.
Truly fascinating.
Guys, I didn't know that, but did you know that Winnipeg, Maine, has a main import?
What would that be, Elliot?
The main import around here is Smarties, and what they do, and actually, Rob, I know that you offer this service in your shop, is you guys import Smarties and paint little M's on them.
Sure.
And can you talk about that a little bit? Do people just not feel comfortable eating a Smartie or rather an M&M without an M on it?
Well, to be honest, and this is only because I've had a glass of wine through this whole conversation, Smarties aren't necessarily the Smartie that you so much are thinking of, the candy you'd catch at a parade. But so much as a Smartie is more of a focus drug used by college students to study for tests. So You know, there's some weird FDA rules since we aren't necessarily a part of America, but we do feel that we have the right to import Adderall or whatever sort of amphetamine that we need to continue going on. So, and then we put an M on it because actually, once you take it, it feels like you're flying. And, you know, artistry is something we have, and you learn to draw an M for a bird as soon as you are in pre-primary.
Wow, so I completely misinterpreted that whole industry.
It's a complicated cloak screen for a reason there.
Wow, well, I had no idea that that was the case. I'm glad I do. It's very interesting. But did you guys know that one of the clandestine first children ever fired off into the Canadian wilderness was one Daniel Crockett?
Really?
Yep.
Daniel Crockett, a historical figure that informed the American legends of both Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone, got his name originally because of a mispronounce of the word rocket, since he was, you know, fired into the sky in a blazing salvo. They said, oh, there goes Daniel Rocket. But as time passed, that kind of morphed into a Crockett explanation.
Another portmanteau.
They seem to be very popular.
You know, a lot of the foundation of American history, is based on just a sort of a misunderstanding and a portmanteau.
Wow. Insightfully said. I think, Vince, we have one more insight for all our listeners.
We sure do. And it's a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
Listeners, we obviously wish you could come with us on our journey across the country. Unfortunately, you can't, and that's why we bring you this podcast every week, and that's why we finish it with an audio letter from us to you. Vince, do you want to start it out?
I'd be honored. It goes a little something like this. Dear listeners, wish you were here in Winnipeg, Maine.
A town whose hatred of Canada runs as deep and thick as its sticky waters.
A town where you might be able to find a couple of interesting products, be they malfunctioning jetpacks, landscape painting kits, or even a couple of clandestine signs.
And you can find everything you would need for your anti-Canadian hatred at Rob McDale's Maple Leaf Shop, offering everything from A to Z.
I think you guys forgot one thing. They just got a new product at that store. It's a nice alum drink. And when you drink it, your mouth will shrink down just till your lips will pucker, and it'll stay that way until the joke lands.
We will be sure to add that in the postscript.
Just wanted to make sure that would make the final cut.
Great.
A town where you might not be treated very kindly if you're of the Canadian persuasion.
But a town where you can rest assured that you can always blame Canada.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey guys, thanks for listening again to another episode of These Parts in Winnipeg, Maine, but join Vince and I next week when we're in Starnell, Texas.
Starnell, Texas is a town devoted to the creation of viral internet memes, though to date, none of them had gone viral yet. You won't want to miss this one.